Well, good afternoon. Delighted to be here. It's a lovely day, and I have no relationships to disclose. I am married, but I think that's probably not the kind of relationship they were looking for. Anybody who's done this kind of work, which is trying to make a change in an institution, certainly has had this feeling. I just wanted to ask in the room here, is there anybody who has been involved in trying to have their institution comply with the CCE wellness competencies? Anyone? Oh, three or four of you, wonderful. And so you kind of know what I'm talking about with this analogy here. At our institution, we did form a committee that has members from all three of our campuses, Palmer, Florida, Palmer West, and Palmer and Davenport, and it includes members of clinic, of course, since they're clinical competencies, but as well teachers in life sciences, teachers in diagnosis and radiology and technique and all of those good things. But if you're not familiar, the CCE wellness competencies, which are the newest of the competencies in the Council on Chiropractic Education world, require that colleges should work at implementing more health promotion in their clinics, getting clinical preventive services in their clinical in their clinics, as well as trying to develop curricular change to allow this to happen and facilitate health promotion and prevention happening in the chiropractic clinics, which is about dang time, first of all, hello. But it's just simply the right thing to do. And I had the honor of serving on the CCE's wellness subcommittee that developed those things. And then, interesting how these things happen, then I got on the committee to try to make it happen. So now it all comes around. It all sounded like a good idea on paper. So in our clinics, we certainly have some challenge. And I'm going to, I'm data-free here. I just want to tell you, this is about developing a program. And this is about how to implement something or how we're getting at implementing. And surely all of you probably have equally rich and frustrating and all of those good experiences at your institutions. But at our college, some of the challenges are that we have a Florida campus with 20 faculty clinicians and a couple hundred student interns and thousands of patient visits every year. We have a Palmer West campus that has another dozen or so faculty clinicians, several hundred student interns, about 125 or so, and thousands of patients again every year. And then we have the behemoth Palmer Davenport campus that has four clinics in two states and over 40 faculty clinicians, many more than that, but some of them are part-time. Over 500 student interns working in the clinic at any given time, and of course tens of thousands, if not more, patient visits a year. So you can see that this would certainly be a challenge, along with this little bullet here. We've implemented electronic health records at our institutions, which is something that is a steep learning curve for faculty clinicians, and they're not so excited about having anybody do anything that messes up their ability to just use this new system of electronic health records. So the numbers and these challenges have been the things that we've certainly worked with overcoming. So what we wanted to do was to try to think of something that wouldn't frustrate clinicians. They don't want their patient flow interrupted. They don't want to be slowed down in their electronic health records. They don't want to be taking extra time. They just want this to happen in some way that doesn't hurt them too much. And the students feel similarly. They have a lot to learn. So we were trying to figure out how we can put this into practice without making it too impractical, too undoable, or too unlikable. We've kept thinking of different strategies, and one of the strategies that kind of made a sense from a single practice office was, okay, you just flag the files when it's time, then you flag, oh, it's time for your colorectal cancer screening, oh, it's time for your mammogram, oh, it's time. But then when you multiplied it by several hundred doctors, it just seemed like, uh-oh, with electronic health records, I don't think this is going to happen. So we knew we were on thin ice, and we knew that we would struggle. So we're trying to think, how can we get preventive screenings in our clinics without, again, hurting someone? So we came up with an idea that we already have a lot of material out here. The Healthy People 2010 goals are out there, so we sort of know what we're aiming for. We have the Clinician's Guide to Clinical Preventive Services. We have this lovely AHRQ guideline that gives us a timeline. You can switch over in your notes, which you all have them around, which shows you what is recommended screenings for people of different ages and genders and all of those things. So kind of cool. If the clinicians don't have to make crap up, that's really good. And if this is already done, and we know that this is what the evidence supports, and we can just get our clinicians to do some of these occasionally, that would be good. But again, we come to how to make it work. So if you flip over to the next page, you'll see that there's a little calendar. So we decided that if we used National Health Months, there's already a National Heart Month, there's already a National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, there's already a National Prostate Cancer Awareness, already Healthy Aging Month, there's already Chiropractic Month, all of these already exist. And if we have a theme and our clinicians say, oh, it's Chiropractic Month, or it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, that's when I talk to my patient about breast cancer screenings. That would make it easier, that nobody has to think too hard because all the materials are there. We've developed a process. This is just an example of kind of follows the calendar there. These are already existing national or national months or weeks. Like some of these things are just Women's Health Week or something, but some of them are month-long things that already exist with nationally recognized organizations that are willing to send you cartloads of free pamphlets, information. They say, oh, you're participating in our month? Good, here you go, free stuff. So it doesn't cost the institution. And we figured this is a way, not only can we do it at our college, but people in the field, chiropractic clinicians, could say, oh, it's Prostate Awareness Month. I just go to my local support group and ask for materials for my patients. We can all participate in this. And it was easy to get our clinicians to say, I can do that. Once a month, have one thing that I do, I can do that. Even though we've got the months, of course, how do we make the screenings happen? Well, the first month, January, it just happened to be sort of weight and health month. And we thought, okay, if we just make a focus on weighing patients and seeing how a patient's BMI is, or looking at his hip to waist circumference, that's a way that we can bring up the topic of overweight and how it impacts health. So clinicians can just have that discussion during that month. In January, hello, that's a month. When you live in a cold area, January, after all of these holidays come by, is a time that patients are very motivated to hear messages about, how do I get my hip to waist circumference a little bit back in line? February, it's already Heart Health Month. There's lots of materials that can be gained by any chiropractor, any health profession institution. We can choose to then do our blood lipid profiles in that month. We can choose to then take blood pressures, do a little bit more focused effort on heart disease things, doing cardiac risk assessment, lipid profiles, etc. And again, the materials are free, so it doesn't cost the institution anything to have our clinicians really engage in preventive screenings. May, Women's Health Month, it's in sync with Mother's Day. Blood pressure is still the heart disease is still the number one killer, so we would focus heart screenings and women's health screenings on heart disease, osteoporosis, and some of the female cancers that are top killers in women. This and colorectal cancer is actually the third leading cause of cancer death in men and women over 50, so there's always something that can be brought up. There's always a screening related to it, and we just tried to bring it forward in a way that would be easy for our clinicians. In October, this is actually not October, if you rectify it there with the calendar, it's actually September is Healthy Aging Month, which I'm excited about. That's my area that I'm most interested in. We can do comprehensive geriatric assessment, which I teach in my class, and my ninth tries can certainly, my students can certainly practice some of those skills they learn in assessing patients in the clinic on those in that month, as well as osteoporosis checklists, which we have at our booth, by the way, thanks to Claire downloading that, and home safety checklists. National Institute on Aging will give you all kinds of stuff free. You can download it, easy to do. November, Great American Smokeout. These are just examples. So you can kind of see in your notes as you follow through the slides, each month has a theme. Each theme has a screening, or two, or three, or four. And this allows clinicians to get at this issue very, very readily with a lot of different options. So thank you. This is not only an issue of having this happen in our clinics, but it doesn't just happen magically. We have held five professional training modules in our clinics related to, first of all, ramping clinicians up on wellness, up on the CCE wellness competencies, and then focused recently on doing health promotion and preventive screenings in the clinics. And so we've done some training. We'll still need to continue on. And I think we need to do some more spot training it's October now, or it's September now. Here's what we're planning to do for the month. as well as student training. We're going into the intro to clinic classes as well as the clinical methods class, where they learn how to use forms and saying, this is going to be a piece that's added in here. If you want to get a wellness credit, then you need to do these things. You need to talk to your staff doctor, identify a patient that needs a screening, talk to the patient, document it in the file, and then you can get your qualitative evaluation done related to wellness. And we're hoping, I put a question mark behind it, we haven't done this yet, but we're hoping that we can work into our philosophy curriculum, which is a very long curriculum in the Palmer colleges, 5 or 6 classes that students have. They can certainly have a little time to thread in wellness prevention and health promotion in that curriculum, and there's a lot of institutional support for that. So far, just in wrap up, we've had a positive reception so far from our clinics. As soon as we did the last clinical training module with our clinicians, we immediately the next week had an increase in the number of screenings that were being done in the clinic. Implementation on the other campus is underway, but I do want to say our other campuses being smaller, they're much more nimble. When we discussed this one timeline that I showed you, Palmer, it took months in committees to see if this would be okay to bring into our clinics. At Palmer West, they emailed it to us and had it in their clinic within a day and a half. I mean, it was already blown up to a big poster size and it was already posted in the clinic. They're very nimble, and so we hope to become more nimble in this and implement more thoroughly across 3 campuses this. I think it's a great experience for students. Our students have, because we've made a lot of changes in the public health course and the way that Irene presents, the students are hip to the jive of the importance of this, and they really want to implement it in their clinical work. So this project gives the opportunity to do that. And I would love to hear from other campuses that have struggled and had successes with their CCE wellness competencies, and hear as well from you later about how you've been working on this challenge. So thank you very much.
Do we have time for a question or two?
I think what you're doing is wonderful, and I really like the creative way that you're approaching the month by month and tying it into the national themes. It's an excellent idea. I was wondering on how, you had mentioned you have a committee. Is this an ongoing committee that you're going to help, that helps to coordinate this, to help facilitate, and maybe bring in the new faculty that are coming in? Or how is this program monitored for success that people are actually implementing it? Is there a group or a committee?
Right. Well, we do still have our committee. Our committee's been going for 2 years. Just before the CCE wellness competencies came out and required of us, we formulated a committee and brainstormed and worked on changing our forms so we gathered better health promotion information or information about wellness up front, and then differences in the forms and how we interview patients and bring up wellness topics. Then our next step was, okay, now preventive screenings, and that's what we're on now. And so we will continue to follow forward. The next piece, which we haven't done, is how to assess success. And that's where we're going next. And so I'm really anxious for other people who maybe are farther along. I think other institutions are farther along than Palmer College in many ways and could maybe guide us as to how they've assessed and that we could share information across campuses. Yes, and then in the back.
I appreciate your presentation regarding electronic medical records. And it's my understanding that there are like 25 different software packages out in the marketplace, some better than others. Different amounts of information are being put on, whether it be imaging information, billing information. It's big on the issue of cost containment for the healthcare system. Can you comment on the system that you're using and how much information you're actually putting in it? Is it just an intra-Palmer EMR, or is it something that you would utilize if a hospital requested information on a patient? Do you send them electronically information in that respect, and how is confidentiality handled?
Very good question, and since I'm not in the clinics, I can name the system, and then I would defer to, where's Dr. John Stites is here as a representative of our clinic, and any detailed answers, perhaps he could give a little bit greater in-depth answer, but our system that we're using is ProSoft, and it already has worked into it a lot of information that does relate to wellness. Have you talked to a patient about exercise or smoking or this or that? So much of it is in there, but our challenge is going to be doing some more reprogramming to make sure that the students can get information into the, and it'll be accessible to assess how much is being done related to this, and maybe Dr. Stites later could could follow up on this.